My name is Nathan Pilot. I'm the pastor at our Robinwood location in West Lynn, and it's a delight to get a chance to speak the Word of God to you guys this morning. Pastor Travis is at one of our West Lynn locations, and this series that we're doing on money problems, we're doing a little bit of a rotation here, thinking about the things in life related to money, which a lot of our lives are. We work through things related to money every day of our lives, but a lot of times we have problems related to money, and we're just wanting to admit as a church, we all struggle. The scripture says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned when it comes to money, and we have problems related to that. We have problems that aren't sin related, but we have lots of problems that are related to our own heart issues. And so coming at that with honesty allows us to come to the Word of God and say, what does the Word of God say to us about this? Can we get real with God and real with each other about the struggles that we have? And can the gospel have its impact on our lives to transform us and make us new? See, that's one of our core values at New Life Church is life transformation. And we don't want to just come to church on a Sunday and say, hey, we had a great worship service. It was good to see Ted and Ned and Julie, and that was wonderful, and we went home. But we want to come and interact with the Word of God and let it transform us. And then we meet in life groups during the week and talk more about it and see God change us from the inside out. And wouldn't it be great if we could sit here at the end of this series and say, man, God really changed New Life Church. He really changed the individuals in New Life Church through giving attention to His Word and being responsive to it. So this morning, we talk about the problem of greed. Not everyone's favorite subject to talk about when it comes to money problems. In this series already, I think Pastor Travis has, you know, talked about stolen money, you know, tithing. Oh yeah, that's something I need to work on. We're willing to admit that to each other. We've talked about debt being a problem, and oh yeah, hey, we've got debt and we should really get out of debt. It'd be great to be debt free, those kinds of things. But I would imagine that after the service today, there's not a lot of us who are going to interact with each other and say, yeah, I'm a greedy son of a gun. You know, I'm just really greedy and I need to work on that. We don't even like to say the word greed. It just sounds like a dirty word. You know, I was talking to my son about what are cuss words this week, you know, and how did they come up? Greed just sounds like one of those, doesn't it? We think we get images of like Scrooge from the Christmas story, you know, the old miser looking down his nose and he's, you know, gathering up tons of money and his little employee can't even feed his family. And we think, man, I'm not greedy. I don't want to admit I'm greedy. I don't want to go anywhere near the word greed. But I met a guy recently, actually, who unashamedly told me that he was a greedy person. His name is Dave. I'll put his picture on the screen here for you. This is Dave. He lives in Denver, Colorado. Dave said he started into the business world as a young man, wasn't a believer, started in the business world, and by age 25, he was making $100,000 a year. And by age 35, he was making $300,000 a year. Just killing it. Those were his words, not mine. Killing it. Was doing great, man. The world was at his disposal, and the companies he worked for, man, they'd send him on trips all over the world. This next picture is one. He and his wife on a mountaintop. He said, I was on top of the world. Man, I was raking it in. And he said, everything was about, in my mind, raking it in for the sake of my family. So we sometimes justify greed in our head, right? Oh, I just want to get my family set. And this is a picture of the focus, this next one. He said, the future of my family depends on my ability to stay focused. Focused. Focused on what? Focused on his 6,000 square foot home at the base of the Rocky Mountains and the tropical vacations he was able to provide for his family. That was his focus. And he justified his mind. This is what I'm providing, the good life for my family. And we resonate with that somewhat, right? We want to provide good things for our kids, for our spouses, for extended family members. Hey, it'd be great to do that kind of thing. But we realize that in our hearts, lots of times that greed begins to take over because we're wanting to provide more for ourselves than we really need, and at the expense of giving away to others and helping others who are in need, and at the expense of our worship of the one true God. And so we talk about greed this morning Not because we're exactly like Dave, but because all of us, I think, have little vestiges of greed in our heart that we need to deal with before the Lord and get right and get free this morning. So let me just start with the definition of greed for you here. Greed is an excessive desire to acquire or possess more than one needs, especially with respect to material wealth. And so you say, what excessive desire more than one needs? How does this work? Well, we talked a few weeks ago about the love of money. And really, the love of money drives greed, right? The love of money is a hard issue. Greed is a hard issue too, but it starts with the love of money. Yeah, we think that these things are going to provide for us. They're going to take care of us. We're going to be happy if we really have a lot of money. And then greed goes the next step and begins to gather and hoard and not consult God about what we should do with the money that we've received and not give it away to others who are in need. We're greedy, and so we hold it back for ourselves. And we justify it, thinking we're taking care of things we're supposed to be, and, you know, I've got to keep enough for myself. And we have this sort of minimalist mentality that says, I've just got to take care of me and mine. And that's greed. We don't, again, like to talk about greed, but the Scripture speaks a lot about it. And what I want to do this morning is not convict you with my words that you're a greedy person, but let the Scripture do that if you've got greed in your heart. So let's just begin to look at a few passages that talk about this and see how God speaks to your heart this morning. The first idea I want to show you from the Scripture is the idea that greed sneaks up on us. Greed sneaks up on us. And I put this picture up there for you because that's kind of the way greed does. You know, we think we're cruising along in the midst of our paradise, providing for ourselves, and all of a sudden we don't realize it, but greed comes up on us and it sneaks up from behind and it grabs us, and we begin to see parts of our heart that we didn't think were there but really are. We're consumed by greed. Greed sneaks up on us. And Jesus talks about this in a passage of Scripture I'll also put up there for you. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Jesus says, "Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. So Jesus knows that greed sneaks up on us. In fact, so much so that he gives this bold warning. Watch out! Be on your guard against all sorts of greed. We got to be careful because it'll sneak up and grab us when we're not expecting it. And maybe it's even there and grabbing us now and we don't even know it is. And so Jesus tells us to be aware, to use our eyes to look and see what's going on. And he told him a parable. The parable he told was one that we did last summer when we were going through the parable series. You guys remember the guy who made a lot of money. He came into a windfall of money, actually, and it was agricultural. He had a bumper crop of grain, and it was just amazing. His crops did better than they ever had before. He didn't have barns or silos big enough to put all his grain in, so he tore down the old ones. He built bigger ones to stuff them full of all of his big bumper crop. And he got it all inside and he said, check it out. And nothing is ever going to harm my family now or me. This is wonderful. I'm secure forever. Let's all eat, drink, and be merry because we are set. And the Lord says to the man, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you." So he's saving up. He's putting it all away in barns, not knowing that this very night he was going to die. And so Jesus is giving this parable to help us see the issue that we ought to be on guard. Our hearts sometimes are prone towards greed like this. And you say, "Well, I'm not like that picture of that guy Dave you put on the screen. I mean, I don't even make anywhere close to $100,000. Don't talk about that. And I don't have big barns to stuff grain into." But I wonder about you. When you get a surprise blessing, we'll call it, of money. Maybe it's a little inheritance that comes from a relative you didn't even know. You're in their will, you get a check, or a bonus at work, a mid-year bonus. Who does that? I got a mid-year bonus, check this out. Or maybe it's just, You found an old wallet in the closet and it had a $20 crumpled bill in the corner. What is your first thought when you come into a windfall of money? What is your first thought of what to do with those resources? Some of you might say, spend it, baby. I didn't know I had that money. Nobody's going to miss it. Let's spend it. Let's do something. I've been looking at that thing at the hardware store. I'm going to get it, man. I'm going to have that hedge trim. It's going to be cool. I'm going to get that smelly thing for my car that I'm wanting to put in there and thought it was an extravagant. Spend it, baby. Let's do it. Now, some of you are a little more boring, like me. You get an unexpected windfall of money and you go, save it. You think, this is going to give me my next step towards my saving program. And you know what? It's just as bad as the spend it people. You know why? Because we're trusting in it. One group's trusting in it because they think they're going to be happy with that little hedge trimmer because they went and bought it. The other group is saying, I'm going to be secure because I'm saving and nothing can touch me if I save a little bit more. Now, why is it when we get a windfall of money, we don't go, let's pray about it? Why is it when we get a windfall of money, we don't go, I wonder where God wants me to give this away? Why is that? Let's just be honest. It's the greed in our hearts. The greed in our hearts says, that money is mine. I've received it. It's a bonus. Yes. And that little, you know, that little story just kind of shows us that's kind of the way our hearts move. And greed is a problem. Greed, first of all, I want you to see, not only sneaks up on us, but secondly, greed is an eye problem. It's an eye problem. You see, we've always, as human beings, had a greed problem, and it starts with our eyes. Think about Adam and Eve, all the way back in the Garden of Eden. What happened? They saw the shiny red apple. Somebody's saying it's not an apple. I don't know. They saw the shiny fruit on the tree. Saw this fruit and said, ooh, neat. I want to have that. Even though God says no, I want to have that. And that's the way it continues for all of us in Adam and Eve's posterity after them. Not just the shiny red apple, but ooh, shiny red car. I want that. It's going to make me happy. Ooh, shiny red dress. I'll look cute in that one at the next party. Ooh, big house with the shiny red door. Isn't that adorable? I know my family would do awesome there. See, it's the thing that our eyes look at and we say, neato, great. That's where my happiness comes from. And it's the love of money and possessions and things, but ultimately our greed that says, I'm going to take that for myself no matter what it costs to my relationship with God, and no matter what it costs to other people who are in need, who could receive some of the extra that I have that I'm going to purchase that big shiny thing with. See, greed is an eye problem. Jesus talks about it. Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then listen to what he says about the eye. This is really interesting. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? He goes on to say, you cannot serve both God and money. See, the problem with sin for us as humans has always been, I see it, I want it, I'm going to get it, no matter what God says about it. And we hoard and we keep away from giving to other people to get what we want. And that's why the scripture tells us we ought to walk by faith and not by sight. It's getting consumed with the things of this world, thinking they're going to make us happy, that makes us into greedy people. And it's not necessarily that the shiny red apple or the shiny red car or the shiny red dress or the shiny red house is a bad thing. Those things have no moral value one way or the other. It's okay if you live in a house with a shiny red door, but where is your heart related to that? And that's the next issue. Greed is a heart problem. We see it with the eyes and we want it, but it's really our heart that drives it. It's a problem with wanting to have things rather than wanting to have God. And again, Jesus talks about this. What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. See, it's our hearts. Our hearts. Greed is not about how much stuff you have. Greed is about how much your heart wants to gather that stuff, and what your heart says towards God as related to that stuff, and what your heart says about doing what God says about giving away to others with that stuff. Greed is a heart problem. See, greed's a heart problem, but there's also an issue of hypocrisy that sneaks in here related to this. And Jesus talks about it. Let me just read to you this verse. Let's put it up. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. See, what we like to do as human beings is we like to look pretty. Even as Christians, we do this. Our hearts are prone to wonder. We sing in the song, right? Can we just be honest about this as Christians? We know that Christians should be simple and not greedy people. And so sometimes we try to make ourselves look that way on the outside and not really address the real heart problems that are on the inside. I bet if I drive a Toyota instead of a BMW, the people at church will think I'm a less greedy person and more simple. I bet if I buy the 1,000-square-foot house rather than the 2,000-square-foot house, people will think, I bet if I wear this dress with this scarf covering it or this jacket covering it, people are going to think of me as more of a simple person. I bet if I wear these shoes a month longer, even though they're hurting my feet, people think I'm more simple. See, what we do is we try to change externals. That's the human way. We think if we change externals, we don't have to really deal with the hard stuff on the inside, and everyone will think that we're great, simple, non-greedy people. And yet we still feel the dirtiness on the inside. We still know it when we look at our hearts and we go, oh, yeah, man, this is just a big show. Let's not do this anymore. That's what Jesus says. Hey man, don't clean the outside of the cup. Don't be clean the outside while inside you're full of greed and self-indulgence. And the reason really, not just because we don't like the way greed feels on the inside of us, but really I want you to see finally from the scriptures that greed gives us a wrath problem. Greed gives us a wrath problem. We don't like to talk a lot about this. We just talk about the problems we have. But guess what? God cares about our greediness and He hates it. That's why we don't like greed. You know that? Because we're made in the image of God and we still have the vestiges of the image of God in us. And we see greed in other people and we say, ooh, I hate that. And yet we're often not willing to look at our own hearts and look at our own greed. Jesus says it, actually Paul says it this way. In Ephesians chapter 5, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed. Because these are improper for God's holy people, nor should there be obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God or of Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Listen, we don't like to read scriptures like that. We don't like to think of God like that. We like to think of God as the God of grace. And He is indeed the God of grace. But God is first of all the God of wrath. He's the God of wrath that can't stand sin, and we have to turn to Him for His grace to be changed and cleansed. We can't just stay in our sinfulness, in our greediness, and think, oh yeah, God's grace is there, no big deal, I'll live on in this greed. No, don't be deceived. No greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ or of God. Why is that? Why is that that God is wrathful towards our greed and all these other sinful things? It's because it's idolatry. For such a thing, the scripture says, is idolatry. Just as if you had set up a golden calf in the middle of your kitchen table and came in there and bowed down and worshipped it every morning, so is your greed before God. Detestable. Detestable before Him. So we need to be freed. We need to be freed from greed. You know, it sometimes feels like we're chained up. Chained up. Hey, we're living in the midst of this society. You know, I have this house that has a big mortgage, and I have this job, and you know, I'm just keeping up in the rat race. And we think that somehow we can't get out of this greedy mindset. And the scripture promises us otherwise. We can be freed from greed. And how do we do that? I want you to open your Bibles up. I'll put it on the screen for you, but I think it's too small. Some of you might be able to read it if your eyes are really good. This is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. If you can read on the screen, great. If not, go ahead and open your Bibles there. This is Colossians 3, 1 through 10. And Paul talks about really the process of being made holy. The process of being changed, renewed, made right. See, even as Christians, we need to work through a process every day where we interact with the gospel so that we're living righteous lives, holy before God. And this is how Paul says we're to do it. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So how can we be freed from greed? First of all, we remember the promises of God. Look at the promises there. Like verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Do you believe that, church? You have been raised spiritually with Christ. When you put your faith in Christ, you are raised up with Him. Out of your old life of sinfulness and into a new life with Him. You have that promise. And then in verse 3. For you died to your old way of life, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. You have many great and precious promises from the Word of God. And so if you want to be freed from greed, focus in on the promises of the gospel. You say, how does focusing in on the promises of God, of the gospel, free me from greed? Well, first of all, you have a new identity. My identity is not in how many possessions I can gather up, how well I can provide for my family, how well I look to everyone around me. Your new identity is I'm secure in Christ. I'm seated with Christ in the heavenlies. That is more of a reality than what I actually see with my eyes. And that promise will help you stand firm. And then the promise of the hope for the future. I mean, if you really believe that your ultimate home is in heaven, if you really believe that someday you're going to stand with God with all the millions of saints throughout history, worshiping Him where there's no need for a son because the Father and the Lamb of God are there and they are His Son, a bright light, pure joy for all eternity. If you really believe that is your hope, you won't look at the things that are around you in this world and say, I got to gather all these up because that's what's really going to make me happy. The promises of the gospel challenge us and set us free from greed. Secondly, how are we freed from greed? We set our hearts and minds on things above. If you believe those promises, make a decision emotionally and intellectually to focus in on those promises and believe them. Set your hearts and minds on things above. You see, we choose what we think about, right? We choose. I mean, of course, you're going to drive your car down the road today and you're going to have to think about what is the car beside me. But you have a choice as to what you're going to think about the car beside you. Man, I'm driving my 1991 Volvo and that 2010 really looks awesome. And I know my family would be really happy if I'm in that car. You can just go there and just begin to say, everything's going to be great. Or you can choose to say, you know what? Who cares about what the car is beside me today? I'm going to set my heart and mind on things above. What are the promises of God today? You know what? My life is hidden with Christ and God today. You know what? Someday Christ is going to appear. I'm going to appear with Him in glory. Who cares about those things? You see how your mind changes when you make a choice to set your mind there? Some people say, that guy his mind is too much in heaven. He's too heavenly to be of any earthly good. And you know what? I would say the opposite is true. You can be too earthly minded to be of any heavenly good. Right? So let's choose where we set our minds and where we set our hearts. Thirdly, how to be free from greed. Put greed to death. Look at verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed. Then again in verse 8. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. There is a death process that needs to take place in us spiritually day by day in the gospel. And that happens when we come confessing. We confess. We come to Jesus at His cross and say, Jesus, I don't like to say it to anybody else and even to myself, but I'm greedy. I was greedy when I thought about the car. I was greedy when I thought about that next thing I wanted to have. I was greedy when I saw the needs of those poor people in Africa, and I said, oh, somebody else is going to take care of that. I was greedy when I thought about that homeless guy in the deal and said, you're just in it for the money to go have your cigarettes. I was greedy when my heart was drawn away. I was greedy, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. I confess it. I agree with You. It's wrong. I know Jesus died for sin like this. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And that process of just coming to Jesus honestly is the heart of daily gospel interaction. Confessing our sin before God. Don't fail to confess, church. Don't think that you're living a Christian life that doesn't need to confess. That's how these holier-than-thou hypocrite Christians are living all around you. Don't be like that. Be humble. Come to Christ, confessing your sin. Then pray. Jesus told His disciples, remember when they're in the garden the night before He was crucified, pray that you won't fall into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Flesh is weak. We admit it. Our hearts are prone to wander. Our flesh, our humanness, the sinful nature that's still a part of us, even though we've been changed by Christ, that we'll battle with until the day we get to heaven is still there. We're weak in some ways. And so we pray, not just a little prayer in the morning before you go off to work and a little one before you drift off to sleep at night and sometimes at meals in between, but just a walking hourly, minutely with God. God, I'm weak in my own self. I need You to empower me, empower my spirit by the power of Your Holy Spirit to set my heart and mind on things above and not on being consumed with greed and the love of things around me. God, help me. Pray that you won't fall into temptation. Now, thirdly, use the sword of the Spirit. That's how Jesus killed sin. Remember, the evil one was coming at Him and tempting Him in the desert. What did Jesus do? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He's tempting Him. Hey, all the kingdoms can be yours. Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. And He used the scripture and He was able to resist the temptation of the evil one. And if you have some struggle with greed, and if you're seeing it in the scripture this morning that it snuck up on you, that you have problems, yes, confess it, but then do the work of using the word of God to slash it with the sword of the Spirit. Maybe you would memorize Luke 12:15, the one we read earlier. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Just tell yourself that. Memorize that word again and again. You're tempted to gather things for yourself and not share with others. You're tempted not to pray and talk to God about what you ought to do with your money. Watch out, tell yourself. Watch out, Nathan. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, because man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Tell that to yourself. Let the Spirit of God work in you through that word, and then speak it to the enemy of your soul who wants to capture you with greed. He wants to keep you chained up. Use the sword of the Spirit. And then finally, resist. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, the Scripture promises. If the evil one is tempting you in regards to greed, stand firm. Resist. Tell him, get away from me. I don't want any part of this. I'm setting my mind on Jesus and him alone. And that's how we're freed from greed. Finally, how do we be freed from greed? Continually be renewed. Look at verse 9 and 10 with me again in Colossians chapter 3. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is, listen, being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. It's a process that's happening. You are not completely holy yet, Christian. No matter how holy you think you are, you're not there yet. None of you. Not till we reach glory. Are you going to be there? Right? I'm not. You're not. None of us are. You're in a renewal process. Isn't that great news? I mean, when I look at the sinfulness of my own heart that I struggle with during the week, it's great news to me that God isn't through with me yet. He is renewing me. You're struggling with greed? Don't walk out of this place with your head held low saying, dang, this preacher beat me up with all of my greed. No! Go to the gospel and walk out with confidence that God is in a renewal process in your hearts to set you free from the greed that's in your hearts. So what does that renewal process look like? Obviously, renewed by the gospel. We already talked about that. It looks like being renewed by the body of Christ. I love it that you guys have 7 life groups at New Life Wilsonville. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, you know why? Because the process of renewal happens when you get together and look at the gospel together and pray together. The process happens when you're here each Sunday and encouraging each other and walking side by side with each other. Renewal happens in the body of Christ. Renewal happens when you personally spend time with God. Can I just tell you, there is no substitute for that. There is no substitute in the Christian life for a daily time of talking with God, interacting with His Word, and letting it change your life. If you think you're going to grow in Christ and have the renewal process take place in you without doing that, forget about it. Quit lying to yourself. You need to spend time with Jesus. Maybe it's just 5 minutes. You get a little verse of the day. Register for it on your email so it comes to your inbox. Put it on a verse in your car when you're driving. Start somewhere. Start small. Read God's Word and pray about it and obey what He tells you to do. There's no substitute for that and for your mind to be renewed daily by the Word of God. And then finally, you're renewed in worship and prayer. I don't know if you've taken time outside of the precious like 30 minutes of singing you do here on Sunday mornings to sing to the Lord and to worship and praise His name. I mean, maybe it feels a little awkward to you. No, I do that at church. Can I encourage you? Hey, download some great songs onto your device. Plug it into your car radio or into your ears when you're walking. And let the worship of God's people and your own heart resonate with that kind of worship and let God in your eyes grow, right? We have an eye problem. Fix your eyes on the Lord and the beauty of who He is, the wonder of who He is, the greatness of His gospel, and sing it to Him and worship. Let your heart rise to the greatness of who God. That's why we sing here on Sundays, isn't it? Because we're supposed to sing. That's what you do. No, we sing so that God will get the glory and our hearts will be encouraged and we'll encourage one another as we sing. Worship so that you're renewed in who you are and delivered from the greed that's in your own heart. Let me just close by finishing off Dave's story. We got a screen here. Dave, 35 years old, and his wife was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. in the middle of his career, making $300,000 a year, focused, baby. And the Lord said, I got a different plan. And he said, you know what? I was living in Denver, but I said, I'm going to the best money can buy. So he went to Stanford in California, moved his whole family there, his little girls, whole deal, started into the chemotherapy process, did round one, thought things were getting better, not so much, went into round two, starting to win the cancer battle, but the chemo started to win the poison battle of the body. And I can't remember the exact terminology he used, but there's some sort of a toxic shock syndrome that sets in, I think, when you do chemo for too long. And his wife began to slip away. And the doctor came to him. He said, listen, we've seen this happen before. Sometime in the next 10 to 30 minutes, your wife is going to die. You make your peace. He said he went into a little room there in the hospital and he threw himself on the ground. Somebody had been sharing the gospel with him. He said, okay, I give up. I surrender. I'm done. Jesus, save me. And oh, by the way, can you save my wife? He came out of the room, broken man, trying to hang on to some hope. The doctor came to him and said, you know, we've tried this one experimental drug a couple of times. And one time the person just went ahead and died. And the other time the person pulled out of it. He said, do it. Do whatever it takes. And his wife pulled out. And he said, I had to keep my foxhole commitment to the Lord. And he said it wasn't a fast process. It was a slow process. But God began to change my mind from being the prideful lover of money and greedy person that I was into a new man. And he said part of it happened. He said I started to go on mission trips with my church. And I went to places in the world where people didn't have anything and yet there was joy. And saw God begin to work. God began to change my heart for giving away my resources to other people. And he said, then somebody from his church came to him and said, you know, there's this missionary that's wanting to go out full time and they're having problems raising some money. Can you help them with some of your business skills? And he said, well, I can try. I don't know. And so I met with him and talked to him. And he said, from the first time he was hooked, he said, you mean I can use all of the skills that I've had with business and sanctify them with the Word of God and bring it together to help someone do an amazing work around the world sharing the gospel of Jesus? This is what I was made for. And so now Dave does conferences like this that I got to sit in a few weeks ago. Just teaching people how to do the process of talking to people about the vision you have in your heart for what God's doing and seeing God provide the resources for sending people all over the world to do God's work. And he said, you know what? I don't have a business card. I don't have a website. He said, but people just keep coming to me. Mission agencies just keep coming to me. And I've told the Lord, whoever asks, I will help. And he goes and he shares with people, and he has hundreds and hundreds of missionary prayer cards all over his house, pasted all over his walls, so people he's helped to get to the mission field because God, in His grace, saw fit to reach out to a sinner. And that's what He does to us. God reaches out to us in our sinful place, and we just have to be, whether it's for the first time or the 501st time, lay down before the Lord in humility and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've walked away from you. I'm sorry I've gone the way of my own heart. I'm sorry I've been greedy. God, change me from the inside out. And you can be free. You can be free. You can be free from the love of money. You don't have to live like the culture that you're in the midst of and think that's the way I've got to go. No, God can set you free by His gospel. Let's pray about that together. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for your word. Oh, Lord, we just love it. I mean, every time we come to it, I just confess, I come And I don't give it as much value of its power to transform as it has. I think of you too small. I think of your word too small. I think of the power of your spirit too small. I think of the amazing nature of your gospel too small. Forgive me, Lord. You are able. You are able to change our lives. And we want it. Church, if you want it, if you want God to change your life, maybe it's not about greed. Maybe it's about one of these other sin areas we read in the scripture today. Would you just tell him right now, God, I want you to change me. God, please forgive me. God, give me a new start. I want to walk with you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me so that I can be free. I love you. Help me by the power of your Spirit, by the power of your word, by the power of the body of Christ around me. Help me to walk as a new person for your glory. Lord, we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.